Thank you, Pip, for those prayers. Yeah, our first reading this morning can be found on page 272 of the Church Bibles, reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, and later on we're reading from Luke chapter 2. But at the moment, page 272, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Chapter 1, verse 39. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Sorry.
My name is Brian, and I'm the internationals worker here at St. John's. Let me read a couple of verses from Luke's gospel, and then we'll pray together. Luke writes, "It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this account by Luke. Thank you that it is an orderly account that is based on eyewitness testimony. Please help us to have certainty concerning the things that have been taught, in particular with regards to the virgin pregnancy of Mary. In Jesus' name, amen. A virgin getting pregnant? How is that possible? In last week's passage, the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive and bear a son. This is humanly impossible. But to reassure Mary, the angel told her that her elderly relative Elizabeth had also conceived a son. Elizabeth, who was previously barren, she wasn't able to have children, was now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible with God. The news of Mary's conception is so astonishing that God provides assurances to her. And so she can go and pay Elizabeth a visit to confirm the truthfulness of the angel's announcement. Now, readers in the first century were not more gullible than us. They too needed evidence to be convinced of the truth. And so that is why Luke, the author of Luke's Gospel, sets out the eyewitness testimony for them. Luke's purpose is in chapter 1, verse 4. It's what I read out just now. I'll read it again. He writes this account so that his readers may have certainty concerning the things that they have been taught. Luke wants his readers to be certain that Jesus really is the Son of God. He wants them to have confidence that Mary's baby really was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And even though we live 2,000 years after these events, well, we have access to the same eyewitness accounts. We too can gain certainty that the angel Gabriel's announcement was truly a message from God. Now, I did jury service a few months ago. It was an eye-opening experience. I learned a lot about the judicial system. It's been really interesting talking about it with some of you who are in the legal profession. Well, what struck me the most was listening to the eyewitnesses. They were present at the scene of the crime. They saw and they heard what happened. Our job as members of the jury was to listen carefully and impartially to their witness statements, and then to decide whether they were telling the truth or not. Well, if you are a guest here today, well, you're very welcome, and I invite you to do the same thing as I did as a member of the jury, to examine the eyewitness testimony. Decide for yourself whether you think these eyewitnesses in Luke's account are telling the truth. And this may well be a life-changing experience. For a lot of us, we are believers already. We have already made up our minds about Jesus. Well, today's passage will hopefully help you to grow in certainty. These events really did happen. Mary did conceive and bear a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin our journey together now. Our first eyewitness is John the Baptist. Before we examine his testimony, let's refresh ourselves on the context of this passage. For 500 years, there have been no prophets from the Lord. Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament. We'll be studying the book of Malachi next term in our small groups. But now, in the short space of 6 months, there have been two angelic appearances. God is at work. Aslan is on the move. The first angel announced to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, that his wife would bear a son called John, and John would be a new Elijah. He would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. So John would be a prophet. Well, the second angelic announcement was from the angel Gabriel. He announced to Mary that she would bear a son called Jesus. And Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be the Son of God. And do you remember Mary's response? We looked at this passage last week. Well, at first she asked the angel how this could be since she was a virgin. Well, then after the angel's explanation that the Holy Spirit would cause her to conceive, she then said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary accepted the angel Gabriel's message. And the angel Gabriel also told Mary that Elizabeth, her relative, was 6 months pregnant already. This is a trailer of what Mary is about to experience herself. And so at the start of our passage today, Mary rushes off to the hill country in Judah to see Elizabeth. There's a real sense of urgency, isn't there? She goes with haste to see Elizabeth. She really wants to see Elizabeth's pregnancy for herself. She wants to be reassured that the angel Gabriel is telling the truth. Armed with this information, we can now examine John the Baptist's testimony. The excitement of this moment is captured by Luke. In verse 41, he says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." We've seen that John was a very special baby. Well, the angel had said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And we see this promise being fulfilled now. Filled with the Holy Spirit, John leaps for joy in his mother's womb. Even though John was still an unborn child, he knew that the baby in Mary's womb was someone very, very special indeed. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, John could tell that the Son of God had arrived. Now, John couldn't speak for himself, but his mom speaks out on his behalf. So let's look at what his mother, Elizabeth, has to say. So let's call up our second eyewitness, Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah and the mother of John the Baptist. John's joyful leaping causes his mom to rejoice, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 records that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit meant that Elizabeth spoke words from God himself. And this is what she says, verse 42. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth's words show that Mary is greatly blessed, that she is in a really privileged position. She has been highly favored by God. And she explains why when she says, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Mary is the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. The Lord is a very special word. It is the name of God. The baby in Mary's womb is none other than the Son of the Most High God. So Elizabeth blesses Mary because Mary has brought the Son of God to Elizabeth's house. And then Elizabeth blesses Mary a third time in verse 45. She says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Well, let's pause here. Let's think about these words for a moment. As my favorite detective, Hercule Poirot, would say, let's use our little gray cells. How is it that Elizabeth knew that the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary? How is it that Elizabeth could possibly know that Mary had believed the word from the Lord? Remember, this was the first time that Elizabeth and Mary had met since the angelic appearances. We know that Mary rushed to Elizabeth's house after Gabriel's announcement. She had literally entered the threshold of Elizabeth's house. She had only had time to say hello. And obviously, there were no phones back then. The internet didn't exist. Elizabeth lived in the hill country. There was no way that she could have known all of this. But the fact is that she did. Well, members of the jury, with my imaginary barrister's wig on, let me put this to you. The only reason why Elizabeth could have known about Mary's pregnancy was because she had been told by God. Just as the angel Gabriel had announced Elizabeth's pregnancy to Mary, and he or another angel must have informed Elizabeth about Mary's pregnancy. And upon hearing those three blessings, Mary got what she came for. She had confirmation through the Holy Spirit-inspired words of Elizabeth that the angel Gabriel's message was true. She could now be assured that the baby in her womb really was the Son of the Most High God. And these two witnesses, their responses have been recorded for our benefit as well. Dear friends, God the Holy Spirit is testifying to us right now that Mary is the mother of the Messiah. How will you respond to that? Well, Mary responds with a song of praise. She is our third and final witness today. Let me read verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Do you see that John the Baptist has set off a sequence of rejoicing? First, it's his mum's joyful outburst. And then it leads to a song of praise by Mary. There is so much joy in this passage. And Mary's joy shows us that she has truly grasped the angel Gabriel's message. She truly understands that the baby in her womb is the Savior. Jesus means the Lord saves. And so Mary praises God for saving her through her son, Jesus. Remember Hannah's song that was read out earlier? Well, Mary's song of praise is very much inspired by Hannah's song. You can see in the table some of the parallels that exist between the two songs. Just for one example, in the bottom row, it talks about the Lord exalting, the Lord raising up those who are humble. Back in 1 Samuel, the Lord raised Hannah up. And now in Luke's gospel, he has raised Mary up. This is how the Lord has always worked in salvation history. Even though Mary's virgin conception was impossible in human eyes, it really is in line with how God works. He lifts up the humble. And the first few verses of this song are really personal to Mary. She uses the singular me up until verse 49. For example, verse 48, "He has looked on the humble estate of his servant." just the one. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary here is giving her own testimony, her own witness statement. Even though she said these words in Elizabeth's house, Luke has included this song in his gospel so that the whole world might read them. Luke wants everyone to know just how much the Lord has blessed Mary through her son, Jesus. Just as an aside, let's dwell on Mary for a moment. I think this is the passage that our Roman Catholic friends would turn to justify praying to Mary. Here's what the Catholic Catechism says. The Church rightly honours the Blessed Virgin with special devotion. From ancient times, the Blessed Virgin has been honoured with the title Mother of God, and the liturgical feasts dedicated to the Mother of God and Marian prayer, such as the Rosary, express this devotion to the Virgin Mary. Now, of course, it is right to call Mary blessed. She says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. But does being blessed mean that she should be prayed to? Well, I can't see any biblical basis for this. Praying to Mary is never once mentioned in the New Testament. Rather, the New Testament teaches that all Christians can now pray directly to God the Father through Jesus the Son. And so I agree with the Protestant reformers that Christians should honour Mary, she is blessed, but not pray to her. Aside over. Back to the passage. From verse 50 onwards, Mary praises God, not just on her own behalf, but on behalf of all those who fear God. Verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. It's for everyone who fear God, who fears God. How has the Lord shown mercy? Well, verse 51 tells us, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. So the Lord has humbled the proud, and he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent away the rich. In other words, those of us who admit that we are not good enough for God and need his forgiveness will receive it. But those of us who think that we're good people already and we don't need God's forgiveness will not receive his forgiveness. And if we go through the Old Testament, there are examples of this everywhere. As we saw just now, one notable example is Hannah. She humbled herself before God, and God answered her prayers. And Mary herself can bear witness to this. The Lord chose her, a humble virgin, to bear the Son of God in her womb. And even though this was humanly impossible, she still submitted to the word of the Lord. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And as a result, Mary was raised up by the Lord. She was blessed three times by Elizabeth. But in contrast, earlier on in chapter 1, Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth and a priest in the temple of the Lord, refused to believe the word of the Lord. And as a result, he was humbled for a season. He would not be able to speak until the birth of John the Baptist. The proud are brought low. Well, Mary is one of the first people in Luke's gospel who is saved by the Lord. But there'll be many, many more. She won't be the last one. Because this proud, humble swap will happen again and again in the rest of the gospel. Those who accept Jesus Christ as their Saviour will be rescued by him. In terms of examples, we'll think of the 12 apostles, the widow of Nain, Zacchaeus. These people humble themselves before the Lord Jesus, and they are raised up by him. They are saved. They experience God's rescue. But on the other hand, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who reject Jesus, the Savior of God, will not be rescued by him. Think of the Pharisees, the scribes, the rich ruler. These people are proud. They exalt themselves and they do not receive forgiveness. So Mary's song not only celebrates what the Lord has done in the past, it also points towards the future. It's like a trailer of what is to come. It sets us up for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And it also applies to us in the 21st century. Our response to the Lord Jesus will also determine whether we receive God's salvation or not. Now, at the end of Mary's song, she says in verse 54, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." The coming of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's ancient promise to Abraham. Now, we've had a lot of promises from Southeast Water in the past couple of weeks, and I'm sure I'm not alone in saying it was a moment of great joy when they finally sent that email on Friday saying that water had been restored. Well, in a much greater and more significant way, the promise that the Lord made in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to summarize then, Mary's song of praise is evidence of her confidence in the angel Gabriel's message. She not only knows that it is true, you know, she said that at the end of last week's passage, "I am the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." But this, at the end of today's passage, she is so convinced, so assured, so confident of this message that she bursts out in song. And Luke wants the whole world, he wants all of us to be convinced of this too, to share in her joy and in her conviction that that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, Dr. Luke has done his research carefully. He has selected these three witness accounts for our consideration. So what conclusion will you come to? Most of us here today are believers already. Like Mary, we're convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. He is our Savior. Well, I hope today's passage has helped you to be more certain of this truth. It has certainly helped me. Mary was a believer already after Gabriel's announcement, but her faith increased as a result of her meeting with Elizabeth. May the same be true of us as we read and reflect on Luke's account of this meeting. Even though these events happened such a long time ago, we can still have confidence that they really happened and that they were part of God's great salvation plan. In this short passage, we see the mighty hand of God directing the affairs of men to bring great assurance to his people. And if we are confident that Jesus is our Savior, well, let's join Mary in praising God. Mary's example shows us that confident faith naturally flows out into joyful proclamation. Let's pray that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit this Christmas to proclaim his great salvation. I remember my great aunt, who was 104 when she died. She loved the Magnificat. she would sing it even when she were at the towards the end of her life, when she had gone blind, she couldn't see anything, but her heart was full of joy. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my heart rejoices in God my Saviour. And the birth of our Saviour is such good news that we should tell everyone, our family, our friends, our neighbours, even people we don't know. Come and join the Walk Up Evangelism team. Christmas is probably the easiest time in the year to invite people to church. At the Women's Craft event a couple of weeks ago, over 100 women came along. And then at the Global Cafe Christmas event yesterday, again, over 100 people. People seem to love coming to church at Christmas. So let's make the most of Christmas. Let's invite a friend to carol service. Come to Carols on the Green this afternoon. Merv will explain the gospel just outside. Personally, I've invited two friends from my choir to come along, and I'm praying that they do. But for those of us who are not believers yet, well, I wonder, what do you make of the evidence? Well, I hope today's account has piqued your interest. I would encourage you to dig deeper. Today's passage is just a small chunk of Luke's account of the eyewitness evidence. There is still a lot more to look into and to examine. For my jury service, we had to examine all of the evidence to come to a fair verdict and a just conclusion. The same is true for any big decision that we make, isn't it? We want to gather all the evidence and think about it carefully and weigh it up. Well, there is even more at stake with the Lord Jesus, because what we make of him will be the most important decision that we make in our whole life. And so I highly recommend reading the rest of Luke's account. And to help with this, here at St. John's, we'll be going through the rest of Luke's account in our carol services in the run-up to Christmas. So come along. And then our Hope Explored course, starting in January, will be covering Luke's gospel as well. So please do sign up and find out more. If there's one word that I want to leave you with as people who are still making up their minds, it's this. Investigate the eyewitness testimony and decide for yourself whether Jesus really is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have given us this carefully researched evidence to assure us, to give us certainty that all of these events really happened, and that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Son of God. Please help us to grow in confidence of these things and to overflow in our hearts in praise towards you, our great Savior God. Help us to make the most of this Christmas, to invite our friends, our family, our neighbors, to come along to hear this good news of salvation, of great joy, so that they too may be saved. In Jesus' name, Amen.